Training from the Old Testament, Moroni's Lessons for a Prophet, by W. Jeffrey Marsh. Latter-day Saints have a divine commission to further the restoration of the House of Israel. 175 years ago, the Lord sent the angel Moroni to the boy prophet Joseph Smith to further prepare his heart and mind for the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the earth. Within a 24-hour period, on September 21st through the 22nd, 1823, Moroni appeared five times to Joseph. See Joseph Smith History 1, verses 29 through 53. It was the fall equinox. A new season was about to begin on the earth and in Joseph's life. Moroni's instruction on the hill Cumorah was for Joseph to return the following year to receive intelligence respecting what the Lord was going to do and how and in what manner his kingdom was to be conducted in the last days. Joseph Smith History 1, verse 54. Their meetings continued for the next 4 years. Moroni's guidance and teachings during Joseph's teenage years were profound. As a result, Joseph never doubted his experiences or flinched in his resolve the rest of his life despite obstacles and intense opposition. Joseph Smith Sr. and Lucy Mack Smith had never raised a prophet. They did not know the future, nor could they have known the trials and persecution that were coming to their family and to the church their son would help restore. So the Lord sent Moroni to tutor and help prepare the 17-year-old Joseph for his mission. What parents would not be thrilled to learn that an angel was working with their teenage son to prepare him for a mission? Joseph Smith said that Moroni called me by name and said that God had a work for me to do. After telling me these things, he commenced quoting the prophecies of the Old Testament. Joseph Smith History 1, verses 33 and 36. We might ask, why would Moroni begin Joseph's training with prophecies from the Old Testament? What is in the Old Testament that could prepare a young person to bear the responsibility encompassed in the restoration? Old Testament relevancy. In many respects, the Old Testament is a blueprint of the events of the latter days. Moroni liberally quoted from it and taught Joseph what the ancient prophets had foreseen about the restoration. The building up of Zion is a cause that has interested the people of God in every age, the prophet Joseph later declared. It is the theme upon which prophets, priests, and kings have dwelt with peculiar delight. They have looked forward with joyful anticipation to the day in which we live. And fired with heavenly and joyful anticipations, they have sung and written and prophesied of this our day. We are the favored people that God has made choice of to bring about the Latter-day Saint glory. It is left for us to see, participate in, and help to roll forward the Latter-day glory, the dispensation of the fullness of times, when God will gather together all things that are in heaven and all things that are upon the earth. In his official history, Joseph did not list all of the chapters and verses of the various scriptures quoted by Moroni, but he did list five, part of Malachi chapter 3, Malachi chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 11, Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 23, and Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. See Joseph Smith History 1, verses 36 through 41. Malachi chapter 3, Malachi chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 11. He added that Moroni also quoted many other passages of Scripture and offered many explanations. Joseph Smith History 1, verse 41. Why would these particular Old Testament passages be important for Joseph Smith to understand? Malachi chapters 3 through 4. Joseph indicated that Moroni began his instructions by quoting part of the third chapter of Malachi and also the fourth or last chapter of the same prophecy, Joseph Smith History 1, verse 36. Malachi chapter 3 begins, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me," Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. This prophecy has dual application. The Lord said it first had reference to John the Baptist, who prepared the way for the Savior's first appearance. See Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. And who also was the first angelic messenger to bestow priesthood keys and authority in our dispensation, preparing the way for the Savior's second coming. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 13. The second part of Malachi's prophecy has reference to, among other things, another forerunner, a latter-day messenger who was called to prepare the way so that the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. The prophet Joseph Smith is the latter-day forerunner who prepared the way for the building of temples and the restoration of temple ordinances. The first building the prophet Joseph Smith dedicated cornerstones for was the temple in Independence, Missouri, on August 3, 1831. He later dedicated the Kirtland Temple on March 27, 1836. The messengers Malachi foresaw have been sent, and the Lord's work is underway. The ordinances performed today in temples throughout the world are preparing families both on this side of the veil and in the spirit world for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Malachi prophesied that at the time of the Lord's appearance, the sons of Levi would be purified that they may offer up unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. The prophet Joseph explained that purified priesthood bearers will officiate in the temples in righteousness in two ways. One, by performing temple ordinances in behalf of the dead. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 128, verse 24. And two, when the Levites offer an acceptable blood sacrifice as part of the restitution of all things in this dispensation. Malachi foresaw the great apostasy of the church in the meridian of time and the Lord's latter-day call for Israel to come back. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verses 15 through 17. Malachi's prophecy continues, Will a man rob God? Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Tithes and offerings were to be implemented in the Lord's church in the last days, that there may be meat in mine house. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 119. Tithing funds are used to build temples where the essential eternal ordinances are offered to all, as the Savior described it to the prophet Joseph Smith. Temple blessings are a supper of the house of the Lord, well prepared, unto which all nations shall be invited. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, verses 8 through 12. The prophet Malachi also foresaw people living in the latter days who wondered if their obedience was all in vain, questioning whether it was really worth it to continue to keep the commandments, especially when so many disobedient, proud, and wicked people appeared to be doing so well and even seemed to be happy, set up, and delivered. See Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. The Lord's response is to be patient. A book of remembrance is being kept of those who feared the Lord and who thought upon His name. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord will hold them close to His heart and carry them on His shoulders just as the high priest carried beautiful jewels on his shoulders and on the breastplate with the names of the tribes of Israel inscribed on them. See Exodus chapter 28, verse 9, verse 12, verses 15 through 21, and verse 29. As the ancient high priest carried jewels with him into the Holy of Holies, so will the heavenly high priest, the Savior, carry righteous members of the house of Israel through the veil and back into the presence of God. As Elder Henry B. Eyring of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles testified, He wants us to come home again to His presence. That is His greatest priority. Church News, February 28, 1998, page 10. The Lord also warned Malachi that the proud and the wicked would be destroyed by fire at the second coming. See Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, Doctrine and Covenants, section 29, verses 9 through 11, section 63, verse 34, section 133, verses 40 through 41, and verse 49. They will be left without root or branch. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, Doctrine and Covenants, section 133, verses 62 through 64, and verses 71 through 72. But to those who fear the Lord, Malachi assured the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and they shall grow up as calves in the stall. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, a reference to how the atonement and the millennial resurrection will both heal and preserve the righteous. The prophet Joseph Smith said Moroni quoted the last two verses of Malachi chapter 4 with a little variation from the way it reads in the Bible. Behold, I will reveal unto you the priesthood by the hand of Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall plan in the hearts of the children the promises made to the fathers, and the hearts of the children shall turn to their fathers. If it were not so, the whole earth would be utterly wasted at his coming. Joseph Smith History 1, verses 38 through 39, see also Doctrine and Covenants section 2, verses 1 through 3. In response to Malachi's prophecy, Christians and Jewish people have looked forward to Elijah's appearance. Many Jewish families still set a place at the cedar table every Passover, longing for his return. And true to Malachi's prophecy, Elijah did appear at Passover on April 3, 1836, a Passover day. Elijah appeared with the Savior in the Kirtland Temple, and by the laying on of hands gave Joseph Smith the sealing keys of the priesthood. As a result, families may now seek out their ancestors and have the ordinances performed in temples that seal or bind them together. Hearts of the children are being turned to their fathers, and promises made to our ancestors in the premortal life that their descendants would provide these essential ordinances are fulfilled as we extend the blessings of the temple to them. Temple work, the prophet Joseph Smith declared, fulfills the mission of Elijah. With so much emphasis on the restoration of eternal blessings, it is easy to understand why Moroni would choose to begin tutoring Joseph Smith with Malachi's prophecies. Isaiah chapter 11. Moroni also quoted Isaiah chapter 11 and said it was about to be fulfilled. Joseph Smith History 1, verse 40. Isaiah had seen that Jesus Christ, a stem or descendant of Jesse, would come to the earth and judge in righteousness. See Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, Doctrine and Covenants, section 113, verses 1 through 2. His ministry and teachings would increase until the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. Isaiah also saw that a great prophet would be raised up in the latter days. See Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, Doctrine and Covenants, section 113, verses 3 through 6. This prophet would raise an ensign, a standard or banner for all nations to see, and to which many people would seek. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 and 12. Isaiah said that when the ensign was raised, the Lord would set his hand again the second time to recover his people. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. He would assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. Joseph Smith is this great prophet of the restoration, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the ensign raised up to all the world. In a revelation given in 1838, the Lord identified the prophet Joseph as the one foreseen by Isaiah, unto whom rightly belongs the priesthood and the keys of the kingdom, for an ensign, and for the gathering of my people in the last days. Doctrine and Covenants, section 113, verse 6. As prophesied, the church, the ensign, has been raised in the tops of the mountains and is coming out of obscurity. It waves for all to see. See Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, Doctrine and Covenants section 1, verse 30, section 109, verses 72 through 73. It is the stone cut out without hands. Daniel saw in vision that became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. See Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 through 35, Doctrine and Covenants section 65, verse 2. Daniel said this kingdom shall never be destroyed, shall not be left to other people, and shall stand forever. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. The spirit of these Old Testament prophecies was captured in Joel H. Johnson's lyrics to High on the Mountain Top. High on the mountain top, a banner is unfurled. Ye nations, now look up. It waves to all the world. In Deseret's sweet peaceful land, on Zion's mount, behold it stand. For God remembers still His promise made of old, that He on Zion's hill true standard would unfold. Her light should there attract the gaze of all the world in latter days. His house shall there be reared, His glory to display, and people shall be heard in distant lands to say, we'll now go up and serve the Lord, obey His truth, and learn His word. For there we shall be taught the law that will go forth, with truth and wisdom fraught, to govern all the earth. Forever there His ways will tread, and save ourselves with all our dead. Hymns number 5. Joel chapter 2, verses 28-32. Moroni also taught a prophecy from Joel that preceding the second coming, the Lord would pour out His Spirit upon all, and many wonders would be shown in the heavens and on the earth. See Joel chapter 2, verses 28-31. Daniel foresaw similar wonders in the latter days, and said that knowledge shall be increased. See Daniel chapter 10, verse 14, chapter 12, verse 4. I will pour out My Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out My Spirit. Joel chapter 2, verses 28-29. After quoting this passage, Moroni told Joseph that this was not yet fulfilled, but was soon to be. Joseph Smith History 1, verse 41. To illustrate how meaningful that prophecy was, and how it relates to our day, Elder Joe J. Christensen of the Presidency of the 70 has said, we need to get some perspective of history. He pointed out that the quickest Adam and Eve could communicate or travel over long distances was by horse. Almost 6,000 years later, the fastest Joseph Smith could communicate or travel was by horse. No progress in travel in almost 6,000 years of history. But beginning with the Restoration, the Lord began to pour out His Spirit and unveil modern inventions that have enabled us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Elder Joseph Fielding Smith, then of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, said, I do not believe for one moment that these discoveries have come by chance, or that they have come because of superior intelligence possessed by men today over those who lived in ages that are past. They have come and are coming because the time is ripe, because the Lord has willed it, and because He has poured out His Spirit on all flesh. President Howard W. Hunter testified, the role of technology in the sacred work of providing ordinances for the deceased has been accelerated by the Lord Himself, who has had a guiding hand in its development and will continue to do so. It is a marvelous time in the history of the world to be alive. Cars, planes, telephones, computers, and so forth enable us to do much more than ever before, but they can also distract us from doing what eternally really matters most. Susie Young Gates once asked her father, President Brigham Young, how would ever be possible to accomplish the great amount of temple work that needed to be done? He told her there would be many inventions of labor-saving devices, so that our daily duties could be performed in a short time, leaving us more and more time for temple work. The inventions have come and are still coming, but many simply divert the time gained to other channels, and not for the purpose intended by the Lord. Joel saw that before the second coming, there would be blood, fire, wars, and pillars of smoke. He also saw the path leading to safety. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Real safety, as observed by Joel, comes to those who are spiritually prepared and who gather with the saints wherever they are found. See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, verses 56 through 57. Other Old Testament passages. In an 1835 letter to members of the church, Oliver Cowdery noted that Moroni also taught Joseph Smith passages from Jeremiah chapter 16, chapters 30 through 31, Isaiah chapters 1 through 2, Psalms 91, verse 6, Psalm 100, 107, 144, and Psalm 146, verse 10, and other biblical passages. These particular scriptures point to similar themes, praising the Lord for the latter-day restoration, temple building, the worldwide missionary effort, and God's promise to gather Israel. Jeremiah was living in Jerusalem at the time of its destruction by the Babylonian army. See 1 Nephi chapter 7, verse 14, Helaman chapter 8, verse 20. Moroni quoted Jeremiah's prophecy that in the latter days a new covenant would be established by the Lord with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 through 34. See also Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 38 through 39, and chapter 24, verse 7. The Lord told Jeremiah that he would call for many fishers and hunters to gather the righteous together. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16. Fishers use nets to gather great numbers at one time. Hunters gather their prey one at a time. Some of our modern missionaries are serving in hunter nations, and some are called to serve in fisher nations. In this chapter that Moroni discussed with Joseph, Jeremiah said that the miracles attending the latter-day gathering would be so great and so astonishing that we would exclaim, The Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from all the lands whither he had driven them. See Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 14 through 15. See also Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 7 through 8. The miracles attending missionary work in our day are truly astounding. In 1980, President Ezra Taft Benson said, With all my soul I testify that this work will go forward till every land and people have had opportunity to accept our message. Barriers will come down for us to accomplish this mission, and some of us will see this done. Our Heavenly Father will cause conditions in the world to change so that His gospel can penetrate every border. Jeremiah also prophesied of the Latter-day Saints' westward track to their new home in the tops of the mountains. See Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 6 through 12. Similarly, Isaiah saw the house of the Lord established in the top of the mountains. See Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. From its headquarters in Salt Lake City, Utah, the church is now sending ambassadors across the globe to the far corners of the earth, inviting all to learn about the restored gospel. See Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, Isaiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. After discussing these and other prophecies in the 1835 letter, Oliver Cowdery wrote, "I have now given you a rehearsal of what was communicated to our brother. You will understand that while those glorious things were being rehearsed, the vision was also opened, so that our brother was permitted to see and understand much more full and perfect than I am able to communicate in writing." This is our day. The prophet Joseph Smith said that each time Moroni appeared to him that September night in 1823, he related the very same things which he had done at his first visit, without the least variation, and then added further instructions. See Joseph Smith History 1, verses 45 through 46. The repetition emphasizes the importance of these prophecies. As Latter-day Saints, we view the Old Testament as uniquely relevant to us, seeing a direct correlation between what many Old Testament prophets foretold and what the Church is now accomplishing. We therefore ought to feel a strong connection with the prophecies of the Old Testament. As millions upon millions in these last days have discovered for themselves, the restoration is real. It was foreknown. It came through Joseph Smith. It is the Lord's work and continues to gather momentum to fulfill His purposes. We live in the favored day when many Old Testament prophecies are being fulfilled relating to the work of the Lord prior to His coming again to the world. This is our day in the history of the kingdom of God on the earth. Ancient prophets foresaw it. The early saints in this dispensation laid the foundation, and it is now up to us to move the work forward. As the prophet Joseph declared, "Truly this is a day long to be remembered by the saints of the last days, a day in which the God of heaven has begun to restore the ancient order of His kingdom unto His servants and His people, a day in which all things are concurring to bring about the completion of the fullness of the gospel, a fullness of the dispensation of dispensations, even the fullness of times, a day in which God has begun to make manifest and set in order His church, those things which have been, and those things which the ancient prophets and wise men desired to see, but died without beholding them." End of the article, Training from the Old Testament, Moroni's Lessons for a Prophet, by W. Jeffrey Marsh.